Gummidge of Fillmore Street. This is GoPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our plush studios in San Francisco's ultra-hip Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 6th of November. On this date in 1528, they say Cabeza de Vaca discovered Texas. Actually, he was shipwrecked on Galveston Island after he floated there on rafts from Florida and barely stumbled ashore. But old Cabeza had had some tough times, so let's say he discovered it. 1789, John Carroll, a Jesuit, like our current Pope, was named first Catholic bishop of the United States, who later founded the first American Catholic University 10 years later, which was Georgetown. 1860, Abraham Lincoln is elected president, first Republican to be so. 1869, in New Brunswick, New Jersey, Rutgers defeats Princeton in the first official intercollegiate American football game. 1913, Mohandas Gandhi, not yet Mahatma, is arrested while leading a march of Indian miners in South Africa. 1917, Bolsheviks lead a nearly bloodless coup against the provisional government of Russia. But things don't stay bloodless long. On that same day, after 3 months of unbelievably fierce fighting, in a tiny area, Canadian forces take Passchendaele in Belgium, and the Third Battle of Ypres ends. 1943, Red Army recaptures Kiev before withdrawing. The Germans destroy almost all of the city's ancient buildings. 1944, plutonium is first produced at the Hanford Atomic Facility and subsequently used in the atomic bomb dropped on Nagasaki. 1962, the UN condemns apartheid. 1975, 300,000 Moroccans converge on the southern city of Tarfaya and wait signal from King Hassan II of Morocco to cross into Western Sahara unarmed on what became known as the Green March. It always amazes me how little is known among most people about the Moroccan takeover of Western Sahara. Still plenty of Sahrawi refugee camps, southern Algeria, 40 years after the fact, FYI. 2012, Tammy Baldwin becomes the first openly gay politician to be elected to the United States Senate. Birthdays are Suleiman the Magnificent, John Philip Sousa, Maria Shriver, Ethan Hawke, Pat Tillman, and Emma Stone. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Comedies Folly article this week is about the so-called Night of the Dull Knives, or the most recent cabinet kerfuffle that we will discuss later on. Everybody's talking about who is and who is not truly European. That's important, but I mean, with the European direction, blah, blah, blah. But another way to look at this is who's actually doing things and who just complains and gets in arguments. There seems to be a big variance among politicians in Georgia, and that'll be interesting to see who shakes out on which side. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. The Night of the Dull Knives. On the evening of the 4th of November, Prime Minister Khalibashvili dismisses Defense Minister Irakli Alasania. On the next day, the 5th, Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze announces that she has and her four deputies resigned and that she has left the Georgian Dream Party. Panjikidze's sister, Natia, is married to Alasania. The first deputy foreign minister, David Zalikiani, member of Alasania's Free Democratic Party, which was one of the six parties in the Georgian Dream coalition. The other three deputies are Tamar Berdichashvili, David Berdichashvili, by the way, one of the only politicians who's been in Shevardnadze's, Misha's, and the current government, David Janjganya, and Vladimir Gurganidze. To backtrack, on the 28th of October, while Alasania was out of the country, the prosecutor's office arrested five officials from the Ministry of Defense over an alleged sham procurement tender with telecommunications company Silknet, who also owns the Radisson, by the way, run by Zadala, sort of an important guy. Ministry of Defense said all tenders were made within the law and that they should cooperate with the prosecutor's office in the investigation. Alasania also stated that he is fully confident in the innocence of his officials. On the 30th of October, Speaker of Parliament Dato Zupashvili commented that the detention of the Defense Ministry officials has already seriously harmed the country's defensibility. There was also disagreement between the Defense Ministry and the prosecutor's office over the classification of documents, with each side claiming that the other is keeping them classified. On the 3rd of November, Deputy Defense Minister Alexei Batiashvili was questioned for nearly 10 hours in the prosecutor's office as a witness in the alleged sham tender case. His lawyer told reporters that the interrogation process was carried out with violations and that Batiashvili refused to sign the interrogation protocol afterwards because it was different from his testimony. The prosecutor's office said they summoned Batiashvili for questioning because he was the one who signed the Silknet contract. and because he is a close relative of SilkNet's financial director. The same evening, Alassani and several members of parliament in his Free Democrats Party met with Prime Minister Khadabashvili to discuss the arrest of the Department of Defense officials. On the 4th of November, the prosecutor's office filed new charges against several Army medical officers in a case related to foodborne illnesses of hundreds of servicemen last year. Speaking from Vienna, President Mark Velashvili commented on the deepening conflict within the ruling Georgian Dream coalition, saying it posed a threat to the efficient functioning of the state institutions and warned that, quote, the country should be ruled with strong institutions, not from backstage, end quote. Speaking from the Free Democrats' office in Tbilisi that evening, Alassani said that the investigation into military officials was an attack on Georgia's Euro-Atlantic choice because the defense ministry is the country's direct link with NATO and the EU. Hours later, he was summoned by Khadabashvili and dismissed. State Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, Alexei Petriashvili, who is part of Alassani's Free Democratic Party, Free Democrats Party resigned after Alassania was sacked. Alassania later commented in an interview with Rustavioti that, quote, concerning the prime minister today, I saw not a prime minister, but a prosecutor, end quote. On the 5th of November, Khadabashvili presented a new defense minister, Mindia Janelidze, saying that he is, quote, sure that Janelidze will be a much better minister than his predecessor, end quote. Janelidze was the Secretary of the State Security and Crisis Management Council, which is the thing that Khadabashvili set up because Mark Velashvili chaired the National Security Council, and so he set one of his own little things up in order to compete with that. Other than Khadabashvili, nobody really knows who Janelidze is. Khadabashvili said that allegations by Alassania and Panjikidze that Georgia's pro-Western foreign policy is endangered are naive and ridiculous, and that Alassania's comment was a completely reckless and irresponsible statement and is insulting for our people whose choice is Euro-Atlantic integration. Khadabashvili repeated again later in the day that turning away from the Euro-Atlantic course is ruled out. They also had the lobbyists of the one of their people in Washington send out something to people like me saying with a statement about how we have not changed our Euro-Atlantic, whatever. And it was sort of pretty quickly sent out in native English. So they're obviously worried about those charges. On the 5th of November, Alassania said farewell to his staff. They gave him an emotional applause as he exited the ministry building. Later on the 5th of November, Alassania announced the Free Democrats quit the Georgian Dream Coalition. They announced 10 minutes into a meeting of the Georgian Dream's political council. Alassania told journalists after that the Free Democrats attended the meeting so that they could explain to their colleagues why they chose to leave the coalition, but that they weren't given the opportunity because BI was there. As a note, Free Democrats hold 10 seats in parliament. Without them in the coalition, the Georgian Dream has 73 seats out of 150-seat parliament. However, there were three members of parliament from the Free Democrats who might side with the Dream coalition rather than the Free Democrats. Alassania ruled out having a political alliance with the UNM. He did say that the Free Democrats can cooperate with the Republican Party, which remains within the Otsneva coalition. The evening of the 5th of November, Justice Minister Teotsu Lukiani said that she is not resigning from her post. She's also affiliated with the Free Democrats, and there was speculation that she too might step down, although she doesn't really hit it off with Alassania too much and deeply, deeply hates the national movement and everyone in it. Continuing on, which could influence her position if some of those people like Bakradze end up cooperating with Alassania. Continuing on with resignations, one of Panjikidze's deputies who she said were all resigning is not resigning after all. David Chalagania said that the prime minister asked him to stay on, and so he will. As of the 6th of November, Georgia still does not have a foreign minister. The U.S. State Department issued a statement of concern over Alassania's dismissal. It calls on the government to dispel perceptions that the judicial system is being used for political purposes. U.S. Ambassador to Georgia Richard Norland said that there are legitimate concerns that the judicial system is being used in a politicized way. On the 6th of November, it's really the I mean, yes, that's true, but especially in terms of which court, which case goes to under which judge, which is a very important consideration. But it's really the prosecutor's office, as always, more that's being used politically. Kharabashvili met with the cabinet, though the positions of foreign affairs minister and state minister for Euro-Atlantic integration are vacant. He called Alassania a traitor, an adventurer, stupid and ambitious, and commented that the public will soon learn many surprises about Alassania and that it will be shameful for him and his team members. Which means, of course, that soon there will be lots of anonymously posted YouTube videos of him in compromising positions. We'll see what ends up happening with that, but that's how democracy in Georgia, you know, that's what it really needs right now is more YouTube videos. 60% of Tbilisi City Hall employees failed an aptitude test given on Saturday, the 1st of November. They were tested on legislation and logic. 563 employees were expected to show up. 486 came, 196 passed. Vice Mayor Alexandre Margishvili said that those who failed the test will not continue working at City Hall, but may remain as acting officials until the end of the year. There will be further rounds of interviews from the 7th to the 14th of November to maintain City Hall positions. UNM claims that the City Hall test was not objective and is political, since many City Hall workers are from the previous government. According to UNM City Hall worker Irakli Absadze, the test observers were people who recently pressured a number of City Hall employees to resign. He said the goal of the testing was to cause many of these employees to fail. He also questioned who prepared the exam. Maya Miminoshvili, widely respected, the head of the National Exam Center, said that no other political bodies have access to the test and that both the legal and logical parts of the exam were prepared entirely by the National Exam Center. Some NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in Georgia, Transparency International, ISFED, and GILA, were not invited to monitor the exam. ISFED specifically requested to monitor, but they were rejected. They were also told that society considers them biased. Another resignation, Georgia's permanent representative to NATO, Levan Dolidze, resigned on the 5th of November. It seems the actual resignation will be at some point later in the near future. He said he's staying on, albeit temporarily, to complete his tasks. He is a highly respected guy. The late night televised address on the 5th of November, President Margvelashvili also commented that it is impossible for Georgia to change its European course. However, he also called on the cabinet to convene a session with him to discuss the government's effectiveness in implementing this course, namely the EU Association Agreement and the NATO-Georgia Substantive Package. According to the National Bank of Georgia, commercial banks operating in Georgia will no longer be allowed to own firms offering non-bank products and services, such as construction or agricultural businesses. National Bank reasoned that it creates a conflict of interest. National Bank's liberal policy allowing banks to own non-banking business was part of the country's strategy to overcome the financial crisis through oligopoly in 2008-2009. Commercial banks that do own non-bank businesses must present to the National Bank a detailed strategy of how they will sell their shares in those businesses by the end of November. They have to present the plan, not sell the businesses, by the end of November. Following up on the actual story of the investigation of the Defense Ministry officials, according to Deputy Prime Minister Kaki Kaladze, Prime Minister Kharabashvili has agreed to declassify some documents related to the procurement investigation so that it is done in a completely transparent way. Okay, this is a big issue, so everybody knows, the handling of classified documents. NATO really cares a lot about this. The constant arguments among parts of the government related to the classification of documents, which we have reported on this podcast, particularly when it relates to the Defense Ministry, very much worries NATO. With Otsneba, this tends to be that they want to release classified documents to legitimize some politically sensitive prosecution that they're getting yelled at about, and NATO has worries that institutionally the government doesn't really have the ability to deal with classification of NATO-sensitive documents, a very reasonable concern. On the 4th of November, the Parliament of Estonia ratified the EU Association Agreement with Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova. The German government is taking steps to ratify the agreement. The cabinet has approved a number of bills that must now be presented to Parliament. New NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg is scheduled to meet Prime Minister Kharabashvili on the 17th of November in Brussels to discuss NATO's substantial package to Georgia. On the 2nd of November, two Russian citizens of Chechen origin were deported from Georgia while trying to travel to Chechnya. They arrived at Kutaisi Airport from Hungary and were deported to Moscow. The Interior Ministry claims they were deported because they couldn't answer the border police's questions. The deportees themselves say that they were threatened by border guards. Meanwhile, people from Chechnya launched an online petition appealing to Prime Minister Khadabashvili to protect the rights of Chechens in Georgia. Following up on last week's stories, Prime Minister Khadabashvili's speech on 2 years of the ruling Georgian Dream, he dedicated some time to the breakaway regions of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, saying that they are not and cannot be independent, but that Tbilisi is offering that they be autonomous, quote, within the frame of a strong and united Georgia, where they will live peacefully together with Georgians. Abkhazia's foreign ministry responded, saying Prime Minister Khadabashvili's proposal proves his ignorance of the reality in the region. And that's a quote. Foreign ministry statement says Abkhazia firmly stands on developing independently and will do it without Georgia's friendly or brotherly proposals. On the 1st of November, before being sacked, Defense Minister Alassania made his first official visit to Germany and met with his German counterpart. They discussed implementing NATO's substantial package. Georgia's youth rugby team are the European under-19 champions, winning 44-14 over Portugal in Lisbon on the 1st of November. Congratulations, Lelos. The MFA condemned the 2nd of November elections held in Donetsk and Luhansk in eastern Ukraine. Parliamentary elections were held by the province's self-declared People's Republic governments and were only accepted by Russia. Members of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe expressed concern over Russia's proposed Treaty of Alliance and Integration with Abkhazia. PACE co-rapporteurs for monitoring Georgia, Michael Astrup Jensen and Boris Silovics, said they would visit Georgia from the 3rd to the 5th of December. According to an interview with a Georgian fighter in Ukraine's volunteer paramilitary Azov Battalion, there are over 100 Georgians fighting for Ukraine in the country's war in the east. On the 4th of November, Sokar, which is a state oil company of Azerbaijan, said that it will supply all Georgian churches with free gas for 1 year. The Turkish Speaker of Parliament, Semyon Çiçek, was on a two-day visit of Georgia on the 3rd and 4th of November. He met with Khadabashvili, his counterpart Usupashvili, and also went to Batumi to meet the head of the Ajada government. Ministry of Environment installed an automatic monitoring system to measure pollution levels, specifically radioactive aerosols in the air. Stations were installed in Tbilisi, Akhaltsikhe, and Kobuleti. Radioactive aerosols. Don't know anything about that. Anybody knows anything that we should worry about related to radioactive aerosols? Please let us know. On the 30th of October, Sopio Japaridze was appointed as the new assistant to the Prime Minister on Human Rights and Gender Equality Issue. Japaridze replaces Tamar Chugoshvili, who has held the position since January 2013. The position was set up because donors wanted it, particularly the Americans related to trafficking. Georgian-German film Corn Island won more awards at the San Marino International Film Festival held on the 24th of October and the 1st of November. Georgi Ovashvili received the Best Director Award, and Georgian actress Mariam Buturishvili won Best Actress. Congratulations. There was wild weather in western Georgia between the 2nd and 3rd of November. On the Batumi coastline, there was a magnitude 6 storm hitting Poti. The port was closed and all ship movements were suspended. A landslide caused by heavy rain significantly damaged the main road in Ozurgeti. In Ajada's mountainous areas, heavy snow and landslides cut power and isolated a number of villages. Air Cairo launched regular flights to Tbilisi from Sharm el-Sheikh in the Sinai Peninsula. They now fly twice a week, and in January there will be flights 3 times a week on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. In parliamentary news, on the 30th of October, Parliament voted to postpone the adoption of a new law on surveillance for 4 months, which we already mentioned. Last week, they decided the final version of the law will be due by the end of February instead of April, which was originally proposed. As reported, the debate surrounding the limiting of the Interior Ministry's access to telecommunications companies' servers and data, the same day Khadabashvili emphasized that it is vital for Georgia's security that the MIA have direct access to the keys that enable them unrestricted power to tap information from communications networks. Like the American government, Khatibashvili feels that the government just, it's very convenient for them to be able to read anybody's emails and listen to anybody's phone conversations whenever they feel like it. On the 31st of October, President Margvelashvili vetoed postponing the bill. He said there is a consensus in society regarding the surveillance issue and that this consensus must be expressed in legislation. He proposed Parliament a deadline until the 1st of December to decide on legislation on who will hold the keys. Parliament then accepted the president's veto. Parliament also adopted an amendment to the Civil Code defining the legal status of single parents for the first time. The legal status will enable single parents easier access to social benefits awarded to families. Very interesting Kviti Sazarevi this week. Art critic Tamar Amashukeli talked about how Georgian society is aggressive. Every day starts with negativity, a reminder of one's situation of being hopeless, unemployed, and dissatisfied. She says that there are three factors in Georgia's society that fan this negativity: politics, the church, and media. Politics is polarized. First there was Vietus, then Shevardnadzeus, then Mishus, now Otsnebists and Bidzinists. Every group hates their rival and predecessors, and Amashukeli says the aggression from these political rivalries trickles to the whole society. Then there's the church, which hates too, hates homosexuals, hates when women wear trousers rather than skirts, and society absorbs this. Finally, there's the media, TV journalists who are not motivated to do any actual analytical work. They just invite their own show guests who hate each other and have them argue and fight, and this is what Georgian viewers absorb: aggression. So in the end, Georgians hate everything, hate their city, hate successful people, pedestrians, disabled people, black people, Chinese people, Indians. Amashukeli says that she doesn't want to raise her children here. In the end, she recalls a photo who was liked and shared on Facebook by thousands of Georgian users, which represents the national mood. It says, "I wish I could just get out of this damn country." Harsh, but there is an element of truth to it. The meme this week is a photo on Facebook that I'm sure people saw, made by journalists from Maestro TV. It shows Khatibashvili as the jealous wicked queen from Disney's Snow White. The caption, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who has the highest rating of them all?" Alasania appears in the glass. The reference was to an NDI poll from August where Alasania was the most popular politician in Georgia. Lots to read this week. Georgi Lomsadze from Eurasianet with a full rundown on the political crisis in his always concise and elegant way. Great piece by the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. Their journalist goes to undercover report on labor abuse in Georgia. What they come up with is not actually that horrendous, although it's bad. But the great thing is that it's just really good muddy boots investigation, which is so rare in Georgia. Sergei Markadonov asks, in Open Democracy, what does Russia really want with Abkhazia, a new treaty, cooperation, or annexation? He's an important guy, so it's interesting to hear what he has to say. BuzzFeed editor, formerly of The Guardian, Mariam Elder, visited Georgia a few weeks back. She has a listicle on why you should visit Georgia. Spoiler alert, Khachapuri views, you know the drill. It's very good for sending out to sort of confused relatives who don't understand why you live in or love Georgia, and so you'll want to check it out, and it'll persuade them to visit. Tom Duvall for Carnegie looks at the political crisis, mulls over whether it may boost President Margvelashvili. David Kakabadze, head of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Georgian service, also addresses a political crisis and argues it's good for Georgian's political scene. Michael Sisir takes on the political crisis, focuses on mostly on what ifs. If there's a new parliamentary election scenario, who might benefit, who would suffer? He basically says it's dangerous. Where would Nino Bourgenadze end up in all of this? And it could mean a significant cut to the national movement's numbers. Vesnikov Kaza on speculation whether the Georgian Dream coalition will further split. Tbilisi residing Anina Lehman writes for the Black Sea on life in the Punkizi George. A little infographic from the NGO in the Netherlands, Institute of Multiparty Democracy, gives a breakdown of the parties and the seats in Parliament. Joanna Potasuk writes again for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, tackling Islamic State. This time she has a look at the politics behind taking on the nom de guerre Shishani, which is the Chechen in Arabic. Apparently some are dubbing Umar Shishani as Umar Gruzini, the Georgian. Previously, we featured a blog by a young woman in Georgia called No Sex in the City. This week she has a roundup of a lot of bars in Tbilisi, some known, some not. Very useful for bar hoppers. Check it out. Joseph Alexander Smith writes for Global Voices on some efforts by Tbilisi residents to reclaim their sidewalks. Super necessary and a very good post. Check it out. Some interesting resources there, although I don't think he mentions Iare Pechit. Argument by German finance minister on why taxation must go global. It's really very interesting. Take a look. You can see the accompanying charts that have already committed to exchange tax information. Georgia is not on that list. I am guessing this process will end in several decades or even sooner in the harmonization of taxation rates, particularly corporate taxation rates. All these things to read will be posted in our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 0.34. This is the percent of teachers in Georgia who earn the maximum salary of 1,000 lari, according to data from the Ministry of Education and Sciences. That's right, about 1 in 300 teachers receive the 1,000 lari a month salary, which is not a pile of money, by the way. Announcements. Amidani Theater is playing Dracula Untold in English every night until the 12th of November at 10 p.m. The next Works in Progress lecture hosted by CRC will be Wednesday, the 12th of November. Criminologist and all-around cool guy Gavin Slade will talk about Prisoner Society in Georgia. It's at 6:30 p.m. with the Eurasia Partnership Foundation, 3 Kavkaze Street in Vake. Slade is really good and smart. Go to this. You'll learn a lot. In Tbilisi, see Stefan Biniak and Stereo Express, world-famous DJs at the Mate Motors Pavilion, 13 Agmashenabeli Avenue, on the 22nd of November, 10 p.m. 28th of November, 11 p.m., organizers Roadshow present Fact Tbilisi, a house and electronic music night at the Movement Theater. For those in Washington, D.C., the Wilson Center will host a discussion on Thursday, the 13th of November, at 10:30 a.m. inside Georgia Today. Speakers will be Tedo Japaridze, chairs of Foreign Relations Committee, and Ken Yalowitz, who is the former U.S. ambassador to Georgia back in the day. That will be interesting if you're in D.C. If you're in London, there'll be a lecture by Professor Elgujet Kitabidze and Tbilisi State University on the possible influences of Rustavelli's Night in the Tiger Skin on Shakespeare and his English contemporaries. It'll be in the University College London. It'll be in University College London at 8 p.m. on the 13th of November. You can write to info@BritishGeorgianSociety.org for more information, or if you'd like to attend, that's info, I-N-F-O, at, all written together, BritishGeorgianSociety.org. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And from 2009, from the legendary 18th Street Lounge in Washington, D.C., we'll finish with Sound the Alarm by Thievery Corporation.